Hey, who was with us last week? Yeah, quite a lot of people. Hey, we had an amazing Sunday, as Siobhan said earlier, giving our first and our best of our finance for First Fruits. It was a real celebration. And we were talking about the adventure that God's called us on. You know, whoever you are here today, you may not yet be of faith, you may be atheist, you may have a different faith to the one that a lot of the people in this room have today. But let me say that God has on you glorious designs. And he has a plan, and he has an adventure for you to go on that is more connected to others than you would ever believe. It's not just about you. You know, sometimes in our society, we see things with such an individualistic perspective that we find it hard to understand how our adventure can engage anybody else. Well, let me tell you, when we look to God and we look to his word, we see an adventure that is never just about us and our family, but it's for the sake of the world. And that's the kind of adventure I want to touch on a little bit today. First of all, I'm going to tell you about some traveling adventures of mine. Is that okay? I mean, I've got so many stories. And I feel like every time I tell you a story, it's where I'm in trouble or I've done something stupid. They're not made up. This is just my life, right? So I'm welcoming you into a chapter this morning. So we're going to talk about some good stuff. But first, I want to tell you about the journey to my honeymoon. Now, the journey home was dreadful because I have terrible travel sickness. And actually, it's 10 times worse in the air. It was terrible, the journey home. But anyway, let's just go retrospectively now to the beginning of the journey. I was with my husband, Dan. We'd been married like 5 days, so it was truly honeymoon period. You know, people talk about, I don't know, there's a lot of engaged couples in here at the minute. When you go on your honeymoon, I thought, this means we're not going to fall out. I reckon me and Dan fell out about 4 times on our honeymoon. That's what you get when you get 2 strong-willed people together. But anyway, we hadn't fallen out at this point. And we'd gone to Manchester Piccadilly train station because we were getting the train to London to catch our flight over to the Caribbean. So I was just so excited. I'd got to a point of wedding planning where I was like, get rid of the wedding. I nearly said something really rude there. Get rid of the wedding. Get me to the honeymoon. I'm like, we need to go. So we were in Manchester Piccadilly and we're really excited. And I don't know if you know, but most train stations these days, they're not just on one layer. Or one floor, should I say. So you have to get escalators up and down to get to the platforms that you need to get to. And our train was arriving probably in 15, 20 minutes. And I was due to get on this escalator and go up and wait for the train. So Dan was with me. He got on the escalator before me. I brought my probably 24-kilogram suitcase with me. And let me tell you, there is a reason that you should not take big luggage on an escalator. Now, I'm going to make this sound really funny, but let me tell you, it wasn't funny at the time. So Dan was ahead of me. I put my suitcase in front of me. It was really busy. It was a Wednesday afternoon. And as we were going up the escalator, this was in front of me, so obviously it was elevating. I mustn't have been paying attention. I obviously wasn't holding the case properly. My case, which was very heavy at the time, fell on top of me. Now, as you can imagine, I was near the top of the escalator at this point. So I fell backwards onto about 4 people with the case on top of me. It was like, it was like a moment in time. I looked up and Dan reached down. It was like, he's quite long, but he reached down and grabbed me by the arm. And so, I don't even know where my case was, yanked me up. There were 3 people lying down behind me and we were nearly at the top of the escalator by this point. I don't think I cried at first. I was so apologetic to the people behind me. I was mortified. And my case, I don't even know what happened to my case, but it was at the top. Everyone I'd fallen on was saying to me, are you okay? Are you okay? I was like, are you okay? I'm so sorry. Just because I wasn't paying attention and this bag fell onto me. And then I think probably after that, we had to sit down. I probably had to have a drink to calm my nerves. Totally kidding. And I was just sat there like worrying about it anyway. So I was carrying this case. It was too heavy. I shouldn't have taken it where I was going. Now hold that thought in tension while I read to you Hebrews 12, verse 1. Amazing part of scripture that I want us to think about today and want us to look at. So Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You know, I had a weight with me that day that couldn't be carried where I was going. It should have never been on that escalator with me. And I know it's like, well, you know, I sometimes just think, if these things didn't happen to me, what stories would I actually have to share with you guys? They always come in handy down the line. But I was going somewhere that I couldn't take the weight with me. You know, unnecessary weight and sin in our lives cannot be carried on the adventure that God has taken us on. And sometimes we think, well, I've just got a few bits wrong. I've just got a few bits that I need to sort out. And sometimes we don't recognize that we've got things weighing on us because they've been with us for so long sometimes that we've got with us. And God wants to take you into your adventure. But what he's saying is, I can't really propel you into that fully till you start to lay aside some of this weight. Because you might have been able to carry it with you where you've been so far, but where you're going, you won't be sustained. You won't be able to keep going. And if we look at Hebrews 12, it talks about us running a race with endurance. It talks about a sin or a wrong that so easily ensnares us or so easily trips us up. We're talking about something that on our adventure can stop us in our tracks. You know, and I believe the goodness of God is that he believes us, he wants us to be free, and that actually God sent his son Jesus for freedom. Galatians 5 in the Bible says that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. You know, God didn't just set us free so we could go on an adventure. He set us free because he loves us. He set us free because he cares, but actually he has got a plan on your life. And for this adventure, you need to be free. You cannot keep carrying some of the weight and some of the wrongdoing because down the line, it will trip you up. You will stop. You will have to be assisted as I was. And because he's a good father and because he cares, he set you free. And he wants you to stay free. You know, in Galatians 5, Paul, the writer of that letter, goes on to say, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. So don't be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What that simply means is don't let things get on you again that have been taken off you when you were set free. You know, if you're in here today and you're just like, I don't know who this Jesus is. I've heard of him. I thought he was a bit of a mythical character or he was just a prophet. You know, we believe Jesus was, and is to come, the living Son of God, that he walked on earth as a man, but he also died, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven, and he's alive today. And so there's going to be an opportunity for you later to experience this freedom. But let me tell you, until you get that freedom, you cannot live the life that God has created and designed you to have. And my desire and my hope today is that you will experience freedom and fullness and lightness. As you go on this adventure, God doesn't want you to be carrying the weight of your past, the weight of your, sometimes it's not even your sin, sometimes it's just the way we think. Sometimes it's just things we've let get on us and put in our bag and we didn't even realize it was there. And he's like, today, I want to lay some stuff off you. I want to take it off you. He wants you to have a sense of lightness. You know, I said before that some of the things that you carry now and that I carry now, they're not sustainable for where God wants you to go. And we think sometimes because we've carried it so far, it's been okay so far, it's not been a big deal so far, therefore in the future, it's going to be the same. You know, I think if we really grasp some of the adventures that God's taking you and I on, and us collectively as a church community, we'll start to open up a little bit to what this means. It means us stripping some things off. It means us laying some things aside that we just thought, it's not that big of a deal, but God's like, hey, I'm not saying it because it's a big deal. I'm saying it because I want you to be free. Another traveling adventure. Last week, I had the great privilege of going to Edinburgh for a couple of days with my friend here, Ben Tarbuck. He's part of the team here at TCC. And we were going to learn, and it was really fun. And I've not been to Edinburgh for like 15 years. So we had a day walking around the city on the Thursday, which was nice. Friday, it was like back-to-back meetings. And it was nice weather, thankfully. And Edinburgh is a beautiful city. But I kind of took the same, I guess, I don't know what the word is, but I took the same approach to carrying bags as I do when I go on the plane. Now, if I fly, I think to myself, usually it's on a budget airline, so it's like, you got 15 kilograms for 3 weeks. No, thank you. So I think, make the most of your hand luggage. You can get the biggest size dimension case that they allow on EasyJet or Ryanair or somewhere, and absolutely cram it full of all your stuff. Does anybody else do this? Because in case you haven't noticed, they've stopped weighing hand luggage. They used to weigh it, and it was like, you're allowed 10 kilograms. Now, I don't know, I have 20 in my hand luggage. I'm like, hi guys, walking onto the flight. This is just a normal case. I took that same approach. So I thought, oh, we'll be fine. I'll just cram my bag full of stuff. We're not doing lots of walking. I'll be okay. I don't need a suitcase with wheels. I'll take my bag. That was fine. Until Friday afternoon, when we'd literally gone north, south, east, west of the city. We'd gone everywhere. We'd gone meeting to meeting to meeting. And as I said to you earlier, I'm terribly travel sick. And all the way to Edinburgh, I'd been throwing up in the toilet on the train. It was disgusting. Just in case you wanted to know, it was horrible. And I was really worried that I'd be sick again. So I was like, I need to go and get some travel sickness tablets. We had about an hour till the train came. And Ben was like, right, come on, we need to go and find a pharmacy. Could we find a pharmacy? No, anywhere. And we kept running around, and I texted my husband and said, oh, Dan, I was sick all the way here. He was like, why didn't you take your travel sickness tablets? I was like, because I thought I'd be okay. I'm a bit of an optimist, so I was like, I'll be okay this time. No, it was just silly. So we were running around, and I'd had this same bag with me all day. And when I packed it, it didn't feel that heavy. But through the day, I'd been moving it onto my arm, moving it onto my shoulder, kept going, and I was trying to really walk at pace at this time, and Ben kept saying to me, do you want me to carry your bag for you? And I was like, I was thinking, am I the kind of woman that lets a man carry my bag? Sorry, this is terrible. I was thinking, no, Ben, that's fine. Thanks for the kind offer. I'm going to keep going. But as I was going and going, I was thinking, this is getting really heavy. And I had it here. I was running with it like this. And my leg was so sore, but I didn't want to tell him. And I wasn't wearing correct footwear either. So I was just going and going and going. And he was like, Rachel, are you sure? We need to go. Like, we need to speed up now. And I was like, no, I'm fine. Until the point where he was like, Rachel, give me your bag. We're going to miss the train. He was like, I can't face it. Hannah's going to go mad. That's his wife. If I leave her with the kids for another few hours, we need to get home. I was like, okay. But the fact is that the weight in that bag had not changed all the time. The bag felt heavier and heavier. I had it on the Thursday, it was okay. I had it on the Friday, and through the day, it felt progressively heavier. But the weight in the bag hadn't changed. I changed. The bag didn't change, I changed. I'd become weary, I'd become tired. We were changing direction, the terrain had changed. We were going uphill, downhill. And the truth is that if you believe that you can sustain something that you sustained so far, you've maybe not grasped in its fullness what it is that God's asking you to do and where he's asking you to go, because you can't take some of that stuff in the bag. Because although it felt light, and although it's been okay and sustainable in your life so far, where you need to go and the endurance that he needs you to have, you can't have with this same bag that you've had all the time. The bag hasn't changed, but you have. You've become more tired, and your terrain has changed as well. I had a very real experience of God speaking to me about this personally about 4.5 years ago. I now joke that it was a quarter-life crisis, but at the time, I think it actually was. I was turning 25. Things were going well in my life, actually. I was doing good. I felt I enjoyed what I was doing. I'd just got married. Some of you are like, warning signs. I was doing good, but actually, I felt God say very clearly to me, Rachel, just like this, if you don't leave behind some of this stuff that you're carrying now, you cannot go to where I need you to go. And yeah, it's gone quiet in here. That's what I felt like. I was like, gulp. And as I said before, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. This wasn't like, I need you to do this, so I've set you free. He set me free. I knew that. But he's also like, I've got a plan for you. And this thing I want you to do, it's not just all about you, but I need you to do some stuff for me. And if you don't deal with this stuff, it's going to stop you in your tracks. And I'm a loving enough of a God and a father to say to you, let's deal with this now. And so for me, that was a problem with the way I'd thought. Some things I'd carried from being a teenager, year on year on year. Honestly, I would honestly stand here and say to you now, 90% of which I didn't even realize I was carrying. I didn't even know it was in my bag. I was just like, I didn't come to a point where I had a breakdown, actually. This just happened to me. And then I went through a period of probably 6 to 8 months of speaking to the right people, getting professional help, because that's what I needed to deal with some of this stuff, and working through that season of my life. And can I tell you that I'm so glad that I did? Because I began to see a breakthrough and a release at that time. And now I look back and I see how God protected me by just stopping me and being like, Rachel, because I'm a loving father, I'm just going to discipline you a minute. I'm just going to correct you. And I'm just going to say, if you don't lay aside this stuff, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to leave you. But if you don't lay aside this stuff, you will not go and do the things that I'm asking you to go and do. And I would suggest that for a lot of us, God's trying to say the same thing to you now. And you might think, well, everything's good at the minute, or things are pretty solid. I'm not like falling into some regular thing. I'm not carrying loads of unforgiveness. Or sometimes it's just the things that we've allowed on ourselves and things that we've believed and carried for such a long time. We didn't even realize it was in our bag. It's like rogue. It's there. We've put our name on it, but it doesn't belong there. And I reckon I was just doing this. I read this in a book the other week. I wish I could claim this as my own, but this is a great analogy. I was carrying something that was God's. So I was carrying a bag around, and it wasn't mine. It was something that God had taken away. It's something that he dealt with. It was shame. It was rejection. It was insecurity. It was all kinds of different things that I was carrying around, but it was God's bag. And all the while, I'd neglected this one, which was mine. Because there's some stuff on your adventure that God wants you to carry. There's some stuff he doesn't want you to carry, but there's some stuff he's got for you to carry. And the problem is we spend all our time trying to take hold of what's God's and help him, you know, take care of what's God's. It's okay, God, I'll help you. And he's like, don't worry, I've got this one. You know, I am God Almighty. And we neglect our own, and we pick up stuff that's nobody's, stuff that nobody was meant to carry, and we pick up stuff that's someone else's. And I think I felt very strongly as I was prepping this week. We've been speaking about provision, haven't we? And what we need God to release to us for provision for our adventure, because we do need him to release some resource. We need him to release some things into our lives. And I honestly felt like God say, there are some of you that he wants to release provision to, because he's a good dad and he's a good father, and he's given you a God-sized dream that you're just dying to get on with and you're dying to get involved in. But because you've got hold of so many other things that don't belong to you, and you've got so many other weights, and you're carrying so much other weight in your life, that he cannot free up this provision to give to you. And he wants to, but he won't. And you think, why? Well, is God a cruel God? Is that what you're saying, Rach? Is he just, you know, is he dangling a carrot in front of me? No, he's not. Actually, because he's good, he doesn't want you to embark on an adventure that he knows down the line, if you've not laid off some weight, that you're going to fall flat on your face and be like, God, help me. Because he wants you to succeed. He wants you to bear fruit. And so in order to do that, he needs you to lay aside some stuff so that he can release the provision to you. So I don't know if that was for one person or a few people, but there's some stuff in your bag. And God's not condemning you in this. He's saying, I love you. That's why I'm highlighting it. I love you. That's why I'm not releasing the provision. You know, I've got the privilege of being a mum to a young daughter, so I've not got to the stage of, like, toddlers, you know, being like, give me this, give me that. But she's pretty adamant when she sees the food on my plate of what she wants to eat. And she has a cow's milk allergy, so there's certain things she can't have. She always looks at chocolate and milk, and she's like giving it the eyes. You know that love heart, that emoji on your phone, which has like love heart eyes. That's what her face becomes every time she sees a plate of food. And you know, it would be bad of me to just give that to her, because I know at this stage of her life and her development and her digestion, she can't handle that. She has to develop. She has to do some other things first. She needs a bit of help with her diet before she can have some of that stuff. And so it's not out of a cruelness, but God's just saying, I want to release it to you, but first, I need you to have the space. I need you to have the space in your heart and in your hands to receive what I'm going to give you as a resource and a provision for your adventure. And you know that divine gift comes with divine responsibility, doesn't it? God's given some of you, and he's given all of us, he's released to us a divine gift, but it comes with a divine responsibility to go about his adventure. Other people actually wait for you to lay aside your weight. They might not know it, but some of the dreams and the adventures that God's put within your hearts and within our heart as a church community, it relies on us putting some stuff to one side. And there are so many people in our families, in our workplace, in the world who we've not even met yet, who are waiting for you to go on this adventure. They might not even know it, but they're waiting for you because you'll be a voice of justice. You'll be a voice of freedom. You'll be a voice of, like, this is okay. You'll be a voice of all of these different things that God has uniquely put within you and designed within you to go out and proclaim his liberty and his freedom. But until you're free of some stuff, they wait. They wait. Because with your divine gift comes a divine responsibility, not just to adventure about you and about yourself, but to adventure with the call of God in mind that is basically, I've got this big thing that I want you to do. I'm going to be with you. And it is about the freedom of these people. It's about the creation of this in this area. It's about this job that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to show you what I need you to do with it. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. This is real stuff. And it sounds weighty and it sounds scary, but actually it's just the exciting adventure of God. It's the exciting dream that he's placed within each and every one of us to go out for the sake of the world, loving them, caring them, putting God first. Caring for them, putting God first. Okay, so I thought it'd be good, kind of just as the last kind of 10 minutes that we've got, to look at some rogue weights that end up in our bag. Because I think sometimes it's quite clear some of the things we need to let go of. Some of you will be sat here and you think, actually, I know what that stuff is that's in my bag. I know it. I've just been ignoring it, or I've been hoping it'll go away. Some of you know, but others of you, you're just like, well, I'm actually not too sure. And maybe you need God to show you what that stuff is in your bag. Well, I thought we'd look at maybe some rogue stuff that gets in there. Not necessarily the sin that easily entangles us, but the weight that we should throw off. No, Hebrews 12 talks about both a weight and a sin. It doesn't just say everything's wrong. It's saying there's some things that weigh you down that just shouldn't be there. And if you want to run with endurance and perseverance, and if you want to travel light on this adventure I've got for you, you've got to put it to one side. And so take into consideration the big weights that we know. If we carry unforgiveness, we carry all kinds of different things that weigh us down. But there are some things we carry that I think it's just one of those, like, it's like, how did that even get in there? You know, I emptied my backpack a few weeks ago, and I, all jokes aside, there were 15 lipsticks in the front pocket. I empty my bag about every 3 or 4 weeks. I don't just leave it packing up, you know. 15, I was like, how did they all end up in there? But they were creating a bit of a rogue weight that I didn't even realize were there, yeah? So I've got about 4 different things that I want to bring to you. There will be many more, and some that are so personal to you that God will speak to you about individually. But I just wanted to pick up on 4 things that I felt were important to share. So we'll go with the first one, and it's this. A rogue weight is indifference, a sense of indifference. You know, what I've realized is when we meet Jesus, and when we know him, and some of you may have and some of you may haven't, there are some things that Jesus is very clearly for and very clearly against. You know, Jesus is for freedom. He is for love. He is for justice. He is for some things, and he's very clearly against some things as well. He's very clearly against oppressors. He's very clearly against people who live as hypocrites, which we all do from time to time. But there's some things that he's very clearly for and against. And you know what I realized is a rogue weight that we can begin to carry with us is a sense of indifference about everything. And you're like, well, Rach, I'm not really this like loud personality type. I'm not like, yay, about everything. You know, some people are just so enthusiastic about everything, and you're just like, whoa, you're so happy to drink your milkshake, or, you know, you're just so happy to get out of bed in the morning. You might not be that personality type, but guess what? I'm not talking about personality types now. I'm talking about when we journey with Jesus and when we are led by the Holy Spirit, there are some things that happen and some circles that we're in and some situations we find ourselves in where we cannot just sit and feel indifferent to everything. And, you know, it sits in the small things. It sits in someone sharing a story with us and we're just like, oh, yeah, that's great. Like, and you're like, what? Sometimes I listen to things and I have to check myself and go, you know, I was so underwhelmed by that then. And it's not that my response has to be, yay, you know, like do a West End dance on the back of it. And, you know, unless that's your personality, of course, then absolutely go for it. But that's not mine. But I sometimes think we can become so indifferent to really important things. And just because we're so concerned with our journey, we're so concerned with little things we've been getting on with, we forget that when someone else shares a story or when we're in a situation where we sit and we stay quiet when we should say something or we should stand up, but we think this isn't going to be popular, this is going to offend the person that I'm with. Actually, Jesus has a real sense of justice. In fact, he is justice. He's the ultimate justice. But indifference can grow on us, and we think, well, how can that really slow us down? How can that trip us up? How can that stop us from enduring? Well, in the things that God has for you, he needs you to be pretty clear about some stuff. He needs you to have a sense of, you know where you're going, you know what you stand for, you will celebrate some things, but you'll also speak out against some things. You'll also be for and against some things. And so sometimes indifference is hiding out in our bag. Another thing, comparison. This is a hard one. We all struggle with this, some more than others. I certainly struggle with this. I've zoomed in on comparison because we live in the digital age, don't we? We already compared ourselves to our neighbor before there was TV and all the rest of it, I'm sure. And actually, the Bible is full of accounts of people feeling insecure and comparing themselves to one another and all that sort of stuff. But comparison has become a more serious, I think, and a more severe issue and a prevalent issue in our lives because of social media and because we now have access to everyone and everything. And, you know, we see the highlight reel of everybody's life and we think, wow, my life sucks in comparison to theirs. And we spend our time, and it becomes a weight on us. I mean, this is one that can literally stop you in your tracks. We spend our time thinking, their life looks so much more exciting. Oh, their house is so much better than mine. Or their job is better than mine. Or they just got this opportunity that I really wanted. And I know it's quiet in here because we've all sat and we've all thought these things. And it used to just be keeping up with the Joneses, but now it's basically keeping up with everyone because we're on Facebook and social media and we can see what's going on. And comparison, it either leaves you one way or the other. It leaves you filled with pride that you're better and you have a better life than everybody else. Or it leaves you downtrodden because you feel like everybody else has had the shot that you wanted. Everybody else has had the opportunity that you worked hard for in your career. And you just get left feeling disappointed with a lack of gratitude about everything you have and the journey that you're on. And you become so focused on everybody else's adventure that you take your eyes off the one you're on and you begin to neglect it. So you start to pick up everything else. You pick up somebody else's. You pick up nobody's while yours is left on the floor. And God's like, I need you to lay aside this weight because for as long as you've misunderstood that everything that everybody else has is better than what you have and better than what you've been given, you're not going to set free the people I need to help you to help set free. You're not going to go and embark on this adventure that I need you to embark on. Instead, you're just going to look at everybody else. And a week goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by, you're getting a bit older, things are happening, and God's just like, wake up. I need you to just take this out. It's hard. I know it is. But when you have a fundamental understanding of who God is, you'll know actually that he's created you for you a bespoke adventure. And just because somebody else's adventure is amazing and going great doesn't mean he loves you any less. Doesn't mean you're any less valued. You might be in a really tough season. You might be in a really hidden season of life where you just feel, I've just been in the soil for so long and I've been ready to shoot up for like 20 years. You know, God is just saying, lay aside that comparison. I'm here. I see you. I know what you've done in secret in a good way. I know the things that you've done that nobody else has seen. I love you. I know you. And I want to walk with you through this season and through this journey. So comparison is a bad one. We need to try and lay that aside. Another quick one is this borrowed offense. Might be like borrowed offense, not borrowed offense, borrowed offense, borrowed offense. You know, we all carry offense, don't we? Sometimes, you know, when people hurt us or we feel offended by something, we understand what that is and we know that that is actually a sin that we need to lay aside. That's something we need to deal with in the right way. But sometimes we borrow other people's offenses. What do I mean by that? You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you are helping somebody to journey through something that's hard because they're offended or they've been hurt by someone else. And it might be very legitimate that they're very hurt. But you know, it's so easy for borrowed offense to plant a seed in your life that if you water and let grow, it will become your offense. And it might have been someone else's to begin with, but it starts to plant a seed in your garden. And as you water it and you listen more and you think, yeah, actually, they were like that with me. And yeah, actually, I notice. Yeah, have you ever noticed that when you're offended about something, you notice everything? You're like, oh, well, they just looked at me in that funny way, or I just saw how they didn't care for that person then, or I just saw how they didn't do their work properly then. And we think, oh, you know, it's quite scary. But when we borrow someone's offense, sometimes we do that as well. As we start to water it and we listen and we just think, yeah, I'm not carrying it. It's not mine. Well, the more we walk hand in hand in agreement with that person sometimes when they're not being healed and they're not finding restoration, we start to borrow their offense. And so it starts to become ours. And we think, well, it doesn't feel that heavy. It's fine. I'm going through with my bag. I'm on my adventure. But let me tell you, it is a rogue thing that if you allow to plant a seed in your life, it will grow and it will bear fruit. And it will not be the kind of fruit that you need for that adventure. It'll be a rotten fruit. that clogs up your bag, and down the line you'll end up in a position where you go, God, I can't keep going like this. It's that big thing that becomes a weight that trips us up, or it holds us back, and it doesn't release us to that fullness of freedom and the liberty that Jesus died for, that we might live for what he loves and for what he cares about. Borrowed offense. The last one before we move on to, like, how do we actually unload some of this stuff of our bag? Stagnant friendships. You know, this is really harsh. I tried to, you know, sometimes God speaks and you're just like, I'm just going to ignore that, God. I'm just going to pretend that was me. When I was doing this, I was like, oh, yeah, I've got three things there. That's all nice and tidy, one, two, three. I really felt like God say, you need to talk about stagnant friendships. I was like, wow, this is really harsh. Because we're talking about throwing things away and laying things aside. You know, I just really felt to say, some of you don't need to throw your friends away, actually. But you just need to question whether there's life in your friendship anymore. What I mean by that is not do you still love them and not do you still have a great time. But what do you talk about? What do you spend your time dreaming about? I know we all have different friends and different levels, but some of you have close friendships that have become stagnant, and life and the kind of life and adventure that God has for you cannot survive and cannot grow in that stagnant water. And so please take that lovingly and said in grace, because I know this is a tough thing to hear, but I really felt that sometimes those things, they just stagnate over time. And we just, it's not always like, oh, well, throw your friendships away. No, you know, just move on. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we have to ask the question, is this person going to help me as I journey forward? Can I help them as they journey forward on this adventure with God? Because we forget sometimes that real friendships are ones that are honest with each other as well. Sometimes we're just too scared to be honest with the people who are close to us in love, you know, said in love, lived in love. And we get to a point where we just think, ah, I can see that God's pulling me over here in this direction, but I still kind of feel pulled back this way a little bit. I think sometimes some of that weight can be a stagnant friendship, and it's just about addressing what that is with that person, or for some of you, making a decision that if I'm going to go here, this has got to change. Something's got to change here. This isn't about not loving people anymore or not forgiving people. It's like, let's move on. But actually, I'm going over here. You're going over here. I want to make it work. But actually, my fear of God and his adventure is bigger than my fear of you and your adventure. So how do we do it? How do we lay aside this weight? I'm sorry, this is so simple, but I've just got to read you. Hebrews chapter 12, 2-3 says this. On the back of what we just heard about stripping off every weight and slowing us down, it says this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, which was us, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. I know it's so simple, and sometimes it's seen as a bit of an ethereal cliche, like we're just going to look to Jesus. I think sometimes we hear that, and we've even seen singing that song, God, I Look to You, and it's like maybe in our lives we stop for 5 minutes and just, I don't know, stare up to the sky and think, God, I'm just looking to you. You know, looking to Jesus and fixing our eyes on him is about making a decision over and over and over again to follow him in every moment. For a lot of you in here, you've made a decision where you're saying, I'm following Jesus, I love him, he set me free, and now I'm going to follow him. But it can never just be a one-time thing. Do you know, in all of this weight that we've spoken about today and many other things that will be illuminating in your mind and your heart now, God doesn't need you to just be singing a song like, God, I look to you. He needs you to actually look to him. In these scenarios, to be like, God, help me. Like some of this weight that I'm carrying, I can't carry it on my own. And I don't just want to go and get loads of advice, but I want to look to you, Jesus, and see your life. I want to see the price you paid. I want to look at everything you endured and how you kept going. And the reason is because you always look to the Father. This is the thing about Jesus. He spent time with the few. He spent time with the many. He spent times in a crowd, but he always spent time on his own with God. There's just no doubt in it. He retreated from being with people to being with God. He went back out to them. He came back to the Father. He went back out and he came back to the Father. And some of us have stopped. We're out there. But we stopped coming back to the Father and saying, Jesus, I'm going to fix my eyes on you. Because, you know, the endurance that you need and the adventure that you need for this, for the rest of your life, but particularly for this next season of your adventure, You need to look to God and fix your eyes on him, because actually, he's the one who will sustain you. He's the one who, when you follow him and you follow what he said, you will bear fruit. He's the one that gave you the adventure in the first place, so he knows what you need, he knows what you don't need, and he knows what you need to lay aside. How do we do it? It's by looking to Jesus. You know, when we look at that, I looked at the word in the Greek, it says to turn your eyes away from what they're on and to fix them on something else. In this case, the subject being Jesus. Turn them from where they are and fix them onto Jesus, because some of the reason we can't let go of some of our weight is because our eyes are just in the wrong place. We've fixed our thought and our mind and our decisions on the wrong thing. We've made not the right thing, the right priority. And what we need to do is have a bit of a 180 degree shift and fix our eyes on Jesus. And when we start to do that and we start to walk with him and we start to talk to him and we start to ask for his help in every moment and we choose to follow him in every moment, we find ourselves being able to strip off some of this weight. We find ourselves not in our own strength, but in his strength to be able to lay aside something that has entangled and ensnared us. I'm going to finish, but I just want to leave you with this. Two questions, actually, that I think are really helpful just at a practical level in dealing with some of the stuff we need to lay aside. Because some of this stuff for you guys, it's not a massive deal, and you think, no, this is just a little thing, but I want to lay it aside. For some of you guys, this is huge. And some of the things you need to lay aside are big things. And it's not easy, and it's not going to be easy when you begin to excavate some of the stuff out of your heart and your mind. But I just kind of wonder if you'd ask yourself this question. Firstly, what weight or sin do you carry now that is hindering your adventure? What weight or sin do you carry now that is hindering your adventure? And then, if you want to pray a very dangerous prayer, which I would encourage you to do, but it's a dangerous prayer, God, will you refine me and give me the courage to lay it to one side? That's the hard bit, because you might think, oh, I'll pray that, it's fine. But you know, God actually takes you seriously if you're sincere in heart. So when you say, God, will you refine me and give me the courage to lay it aside, he starts to unpick some stuff and unpack some stuff in your heart, and you think, oh, sometimes we think, oh, now the world's against me or the enemy's attacking me. And sometimes it's just God pulling out some stuff that shouldn't be in there. You know, when you have to have a wound cleaned and it's like you've got to get all the infection out, it hurts. But you know, God's a good God. And actually, Hebrews 12 goes on to say that he disciplines us when we're his children. And no discipline is nice when it's happening, but sometimes he's just saying, let me clean that wound out. It's like when you have kids and they fall over and they're like, no, don't touch it. But God's saying, if you just let me do it, I know it's probably going to hurt. It means it can heal and you can progress and you can let go of some stuff. So the questions, what weight or sin are you carrying that's hindering the adventure? And then pray, will you refine me and give me the courage to lay it aside? Don't be surprised when things start to happen when you pray that prayer. You know, Jesus has set us free. And it was for freedom that he set us free. So don't allow the weight that you carry and the things that are on your life to put on a weight that you've been set free from.